We thank you that you are a great, mighty, powerful God. You are the only real God. There is no other God. They are all fake, false gods. You are all powerful, almighty. Nothing that we are facing today is too difficult for you. You stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, God, and our hope and trust is in you. And on this day, we want to have ears to hear and hearts to receive the word that you would impart to us as we look forward to next week with great anticipation of encountering your Ruach in a fresh new way. So speak to us through the message today, we pray. In Yeshua's name, amen. So we are continuing our in series, Bo Ruach, Come Spirit. And as I said, next week is a celebration of Shavuot. On this holiday, we celebrate the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai and the outpouring of the Ruach HaKodesh as recorded to for us in Acts chapter 2, where those Talmidim, who are all Jewish, by the way, just want to continue to emphasize that, Jewish Talmidim, and gathered there in Acts chapter 2, were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We know that the Ruach is the one who enables us to live out the principles of the Torah, so celebrating these two things together on this holiday is very, very significant. And this past month, we've been speaking on this. Last week, Rabbi Michael talked about what it means to follow the Ruach in our daily lives, that being filled with the Ruach, with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, is just the first step to a lifelong relationship that we are to have with him. It's not just a one-time experience, and as we've looked through this series and have been encouraging you to be reading through the book of Acts, you can see that the same people who were filled in Acts chapter 2, later in the book of Acts, it says they were gathered together and they were filled anew, fresh with the Ruach HaKodesh. So that's why when Gary prayed over me next week to be filled, I'm looking forward to a fresh impartation of God's Spirit into my life and into your life and into this congregation. So next week, many of you, look at me, many of you will be filled with the Ruach for the first time with the evidence of speaking in tongues, okay? It is what God has promised. We're going through all of those things. I don't want to re-preach the messages from the past, but I want to encourage you that next week, be here early, be here with anticipation, be here ready to encounter and to go to a new level in your relationship with the Ruach Hashem. For those of you who have already been filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues, next week expect a special, fresh, new encounter with him. That he wants to, again, to take you to the next level in him. He wants to empower you. He wants to refresh you. He wants to renew you. And so come with hearts filled with expectation. I might text you every day reminding you of the count this week. I have thought about doing it for 50 days, but I thought that might be too much and you might get annoyed at me. So I figure 1 week you can receive texts from me, right? Say, yes, Rabbi Carol, you can text me every day. Thank you, Raylan. So we're going to be filled fresh and new. We're going to be filled for the first time. Where do we go from there? Again, part of what we do is what Rabbi Michael shared last week. We learn to walk in step with the Ruach in our daily life, bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We want to continue to develop our relationship with him. And part of that is also understanding the gifts of the Ruach, the gifts of the Spirit. And that's what I'm going to be teaching us on this morning. We need to understand the gifts of the Spirit and how they operate in our daily lives and in the congregation. So today I'm giving you an overview of these gifts because I want you to not get mad at me. If I did every gift extensively, I would keep you here for a long time. Books have been written and on even just one single gift. But I want to give you an overview, and I want to encourage you to be reading these passages, you know, about the gifts of the Ruach and reading through the book of Acts, which is a history of how these gifts were manifested in the Kehillah of the first century. Rav Shaul begins his passage in 1 Corinthians 12, which is one of the passages that discusses the gifts of the Ruach, with these words, "Brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant about the things of the Spirit." Friends, we are a Spirit-filled congregation, okay? We are filled with the Ruach, and we need to walk in that relationship with him, and it should be evidenced in our lives not just here in the congregation, but out in our neighborhoods as well. And God's desire is still the same for this congregation, that we would not be ignorant concerning the things of the Spirit. Now, I realize that we come from a diverse background in this congregation, and for those who are listening on the podcast, we have people listening from literally around the world. As Randy and I sometimes go and look at those specs, you can see where people are listening to the podcast. We all have different backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds, religious backgrounds. Many are from a Jewish background. Some are not from a Jewish background. Some come from a religious background. Some come a totally non-religious background. And I get it that we bring all of that to a service and to a worship experience. You know, so my background is a little more demonstrative than some here in the Northeast. So I'm used to being more demonstrative in worship. And we bring all of that to the table, but we cannot let our background hinder us from understanding the principles of God's Word, right? And these principles concerning the gifts of the Spirit are vital to kingdom expansion and to kingdom living. So I want you to say, God, teach me. In fact, let's just say that today. God, teach me concerning the gifts and help me to allow you to use me in them. Amen. See, often people misunderstand the gifts of the Ruach and their purpose in the Kehillah. Unfortunately, over the years, people have abused them, misused these gifts, which add to the confusion. But none of these should be reasons that we avoid the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts should be in operation in our services, in our daily lives. Just as we receive the infilling of the Ruach with the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, it is important for us to understand these gifts and to understand that they are Jewish. Again, Jewish through and through. It was a first century Jewish congregation that Adonai poured out his Spirit upon, that God manifested these gifts in. And so for us as a Messianic Jewish Spirit-filled, Ruach-filled congregation, walking in these gifts is a very, very Jewish thing for us to experience, contrary to what a few people a few people might say to us. So we don't want to be afraid of these gifts because, as I said before, and probably will say quite a few times in this message, I truly believe, and I know my husband does as well, that they are vitally needed within the Kehillah today and in our individual lives. Now, when you look through the scriptures, there are three places where the gifts are listed. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. However, these gifts are not exhaustive. And we were at meetings this week, all week long, well, Tuesday through Thursday with the assemblies. And thankfully, it was here on Long Island, so we could drive back and forth to Amityville. And they spoke about this as well. You know, don't think that these are the only gifts that the Spirit wants to pour out. And it's important to us to understand them for several reasons. One is because as human beings, we can box God in and think that, well, it's only these gifts listed here, and if it's not this, then it can't be a gift of the Ruach. And as we look at these, there's a list up here. Again, I'm not going to go through every single one, but I just do want to mention that the gifts in Ephesians 4 are calling gifts. In other words, God calls people to these gifts, and that when we look at these, we see that these gifts represent a diverse area that God wants to manifest his presence and into our lives personally and into the congregation. And the other gifts, besides those in Ephesians 4, are often called the charismata, from the Greek word charis, which means grace. And they're to be an expression of God's grace to us as he gives these gifts and flows through us with these gifts to touch our lives, but to also touch the world around us. And each time that the scriptures talk about these gifts, it's always in the context of the Kehillah, of the unity and the diversity within the body. I also want us to look at this other little chart I have here because it's important, again, for us to have this understanding. So one author that I was reading on this topic made the following distinctions between what spiritual gifts are and what they are not. And I think this will help us in our understanding as well. First of all, on the right-hand side, spiritual gifts are not salvation. You're not saved, you know, through a spiritual gift. It is not has nothing to do with character, which is more what my husband spoke about last week in walking in step with the Ruach and manifesting his fruit in our lives. It has nothing to do with your talents. You can be talented in an area that is similar to a gift of the Ruach, but it doesn't mean that it's a gift. And it has nothing to do with whether you're an, again, these are, this was a Gentile believer writing this, maybe an elder or deacon, or your skills. That's not what spiritual gifts are. But what spiritual gifts are, is they are supernatural abilities. Can you say that with me? Supernatural abilities. Okay? Sovereignly given to strengthen his saints who are to serve, in other words, minister one to another, and to and for the good, and to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God in this world. That's what the spiritual gifts are. They are supernatural because they come from the Ruach, the Spirit of God. That's why it's not natural abilities, even though those natural abilities and talents may seem similar or fall into one of those categories. We're talking about the supernatural impartation. And if you go back to the list before, you see that a lot of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and some in Romans 12 are the ones that are considered the more supernatural gifts. Obviously, healings and tongues and prophecy, etc. You know, we don't think of mercy as a gift, a supernatural gift. But there's an impartation that God gives to people to show that compassion and that mercy, you know, to others. We heard a speaker this week who is the founder of Convoy of Hope, which we gave money to last fall to help the victims of the hurricane. And so we heard his story of how God birthed this in him out of a tragic childhood himself. But I really believe God has given this man the gift of compassion. And it was so evident as he shared that that's a gift that has been imparted into him. And through this ministry, it was amazing to hear the millions of people that have been touched, the children that have been fed. And it's a gift of mercy, compassion that God has placed upon this man. So I wanted to talk about four things, again, to instruct us on these, with the desire that we would, again, not be ignorant, as Rav Shaul said, and say, Adonai, here I am. I want to be used. Anoint me with a supernatural gift. So the first thing is that these gifts are given by the Ruach. They're not given by a leader. Rabbi Michael and I can't, you know, give a gift to you. We can pray for you, and then we do pray and ask God to move in through each one of us, but they cannot be given by a human leader. And they, as I've said before, they're not simply natural abilities alone, although God will flow and work through the natural abilities that he has given us. Reading in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6, Adonai says, now there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Ruach gives them. Who gives them? The Ruach. Also, there are different ways of serving, which is one of the gifts, but it is the same Lord being served. And there are different modes of working, but it is the same God working them all in everyone. Down to verse 11, one and the same Ruach is at work in all these things, distributing to each person as he chooses. Who chooses? The Ruach. I don't choose. You don't choose. He chooses. The Ruach chooses to impart these gifts to men and women, boys and girls, young people, young adults, old people, those in between. I'm not sure where I fall. I feel very young because he renews my youth. Like the eagles. The Ruach is simply looking for willing people. When we learn to walk in the truth of last week's message, which is, again, very vital, and if you didn't hear that word or you heard it but you need to hear it again, go listen on the podcast. Thank you to Randy for posting those every week so you can listen to those. I know sometimes when I'm driving around and I don't hear my husband's message because I'm working in there with children or with the youth, I'll have that message on and listen to it. It's such a blessing to be able to do that. Last week's message is so important to this week's message. You have to be walking in those principles. If you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, which has to do with your character and your integrity, then you are putting yourself in a great position that the Ruach would anoint you with these gifts. A lot of our songs this past month have reflected on the person of the Ruach and inviting him to come. And even today we sung Tishalach, Tishalach. You know, send your Spirit, pour out, renew us, right? That's the cry of our hearts as we're coming up to Shavuot. And this is always a good position to be in, to cry out for more of the Ruach in our lives. And as we do that, he will anoint us. He is looking for people that he could anoint and with these gifts. He wants to anoint people with the gift of healing, with the gift of miracles, with words of wisdom and knowledge, with the gift of compassion, with the gift of serving. He wants to anoint people with these. Chronicles tells us that Adonai's eyes are looking to and fro throughout the land, seeing who is wholeheartedly devoted to him that he might strengthen them, right? And I think that goes in connection with also the outpouring of the Ruach, that when Adonai sees that we are committed to him and that it is our desire to walk in step with him, not perfectly, because you might be listening to me saying, oh, Rabbi Carol, that doesn't include me because I blow it a lot. He's not looking for a perfection, okay? Because the men and women in the book of Acts blew it sometimes. I was listening to, I also listened to the Bible in the car as I'm driving. So I was at the part where Rob Shaul was talking about how he had to confront Kepha. It was in the book of Galatians. Because, you know, Kepha was acting two-faced, right? And Rob Shaul confronted him. But yet God poured out his Spirit on Kepha and used him in these gifts. So I'm just saying this to say it's not perfection that God is looking for, but people who are willing and who are dedicated to the process of becoming more like him, walking in the fruit of the Spirit that says, God, here I am, anoint me. Anoint me with whatever gift is needed at this moment and at this time. We'll talk about this a little later. It's not that you and I possess this gift. Although you can look at a man like the man that we met this week, and it is obviously his life has been dedicated to compassion ministry, and I believe it's because he has yielded his life continually to God that God has used him in that way. But it's the Ruach who gives as he chooses. And in each and every situation, you can flow in a different gift as the Ruach chooses. The second thing I want us to look at is that these gifts are important to our growth as individuals and as a congregation. As I said, it's impossible for me to detail every single gift this morning, but I'm going to stress again that these gifts are vital, vital for kingdom advancement. They were in operation in that first century congregation, and they aided in the spread of the Bissarah and the building of the kingdom of God. Historically, when you look at the historical records, you see that the gifts of the Spirit were in operation through the 3rd century CE. After that, unfortunately, in the history of the body of Messiah, these gifts were used sparingly after the 3rd century within the body and basically died out until the beginning of the 20th century, where there was a renewal and the outpouring of the Ruach. The birth of the modern Messianic movement took place around that time as well. The outpouring of his Ruach with the evidence of speaking in tongues that had not happened for hundreds and thousands of years on a large scale like it did there in the early 1900s. What a difference since then in this 20th century, what the body of Messiah has done as they have been empowered and as they have yielded to the outpouring of the Ruach and the gifts have been in manifestation and the power of the Spirit. You can see what the Kehillah at large has done over the last 100 years or so, as we have been yielded and have now embraced and experienced the outpouring of the Ruach and these gifts that he wants to be in operation in our lives. As I said, we have three places where these gifts are listed. 1 Corinthians is the most extensive list, and it's the list that most people refer to when they are talking about the gifts of the Ruach. And I just want to summarize these gifts in particular. The first, they're in the Greek of the New Covenant, they are divided into three different groups. The first is the message of wisdom and knowledge that are useful in teaching and preaching, and also in encouraging on the personal level. I know there are sometimes when I'm preaching a message or teaching, and I'm sure this is true for my husband, that something comes out of me, and you'll sometimes hear me say, this is a word for someone. I know that it's not part of what my notes are in my notes. It's not part of as I meditate and go over my message that was even something that I thought of saying, but yet there was something that prompted me to say that, and that's a word of wisdom or word of knowledge. I also know that there have been times when I've been speaking to someone one-on-one, personal, and something comes out of me that I know is a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge to encourage and speak, things that I would not have known, but God knows. So we have to be open, and so these gifts are used in that way. And then the next one is faith, healings, miraculous powers, prophecy, and distinguishing spirits are useful in ministering within the Kehillah and also in the world to operate in those. And the last one is the speaking in tongues and interpretation. They are used really within the context of worship. That's the and that's what Rav Shaul is addressing there in Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, is because there was a misuse in the Corinth congregation, and he had to encourage them how to administer those gifts in particular within the context of the worship service. And so our encouragement, again, is to study these and understand their importance. And here's a few reasons why these gifts are important to us. The first is that they build up the believers. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. Moreover, to each person is given the particular manifestation of the Spirit that will be for the common good. Common good of who? The rest of the body. So this gift is given so that we could build one another up. So when you have a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge that encourages the other person, it's for their good. It builds people up. The abuse and misuse of the gifts have come, and some of you may have been exposed to this. And we heard a story from a spiritual leader this week of something that happened in his congregation he had to address, where one person felt it was their job to correct and rebuke everyone. And always in service would give a word of rebuke that God was upset and wanted, you know, you to change. And he had to finally address this woman and say, you know, this is what the Bible says the gifts are for. They are to build up, not to tear down, right? And then he shared that another person in the congregation would give him up, and he would give every verse he must have ever memorized. And so he had to encourage him that, you know, God is, you know, specific and be short and brief and things. So because of these misuses, sometimes, again, we're leery of them. But the gifts are meant to build people up. They're for our good. So if God is going to speak through a gift, the first of the gifts, which are those spoken gifts, it's going to be encouraged. So Natalie spoke a word in the service today. And that was an encouraging word, right? It said, God says, come to me, you who are weary. So that was to build us up and to encourage. Did you feel encouraged when you heard that word? Amen, I did too. But I have been in services where those words that I come for were one, angry, and did not build me up. Right? And I know that God wants to correct us sometime, but he's a loving father in his correction. So they are to build us up, right? Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. Furthermore, he gave some as emissaries, some as prophets, some as proclaimers of the good news, and some as shepherds and teachers And their task is to equip the people for the work of service that builds the body of the Messiah. So this is the fivefold ministry, which are gifts that are given. But again, these are calling. God has to call you to be a rabbi, to be a spiritual leader. It's just not something you just choose to do. But what is our role? Again, it's for the good, to equip you and to build you up. So anytime that we are encouraging you, whether through a message or through one-on-one, the purpose is for your good, to benefit you, to see you strengthen, to see you grow. The second, they are to be used to serve others, which goes hand in hand with that. 1 Corinthians 12:5 says, now there are different ways of serving, but it's the same Lord being served. Kepha Allah, 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received some spiritual gift, he should use it to serve others like good managers of God's many-sided grace. Whatever spiritual gift has been imparted to you, it's not for your own good. We're going to talk about it here in a few minutes. It's not, you know, to puff me up, but it's to serve other people around me. So God doesn't want to manifest his gift in me if I'm just going to use it for selfish reasons, right, and selfish motives. But he wants to impart the gift to me and to you so that we could serve one another, both within this kehilah, but also to serve others outside the kehilah, as this man with compassion ministry is doing. Through that ministry, he has touched millions of people, and through that compassion, he has been able, not him personally, but the ministry, to preach the good news of Yeshua and see many, many come to faith, which is the purpose of the gifts, is to build the kingdom, to see people come to faith in the Messiah. And another scripture on serving from Romans 12, verses 4 through 6. For just as there are many parts that compose one body, but the parts don't have all the same function, so there are many of us, and in union with the Messiah, we comprise one body, with each of us belonging to the others. But we have gifts that differ and which are meant to be used according to the grace that has been given to us to build up as part of the body. We each have a different job to do, and God's going to impart different things to us, but again, it's for the common good in the building up of the body. The third reason why they are important is they're meant to glorify God. Looking back again at Kepha Aleph, 1 Peter chapter 4, this time verse 11. If someone speaks, let him speak God's word. If someone serves, let him do so out of strength that God supplies, so that in everything God may be what? Glorified, so that in everything God may be glorified through Yeshua the Messiah. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. These gifts are not about you and me. It's not about us gaining notoriety. It's not about this man who, again, this is a, it's Convoy of Hope has one of the highest ratings and has for years of compassion-based organizations. These ratings are done by whoever does these ratings, right, in the world. Highest rating. It's not about him, this man. And you could tell, this man was humble as he's up there and sharing, and they honored him. They shared the foundation and the whole starting of this in this ministry. See, if it's about you, those gifts are not going to flow through you. If it's about me, Holy Spirit ain't going to anoint me, right? It's all about him, that God would receive glory, that God would be honored. And that's all this man did. To God be the glory, to God be the honor. That someone has life has been touched, that they have heard the good news of Messiah. God must be glorified through these gifts. It's not you, it's not me, but God receives the glory. And the last thing, they are to reach the community around us. The lost need us. I won't get started there because it'll take me down another path. The lost need us. And they need us to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. When you read in the book of Acts, think of Acts chapter 3. When Kepha and Yochanan were walking up to the temple. So this didn't take place in a religious service. It happened at the Gate Beautiful. Silver and gold I don't have, but I do have. I give to you in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Rise and be healed. And what happened? They reached out that hand and pulled that man up, and instantly, after 40-some years, he was able to walk for the first time. That man needed the gift of healing to be manifested. But not only did it impact that man, but from there, Kepha was able to speak about the good news of Yeshua so that once again, thousands were added to the kingdom of God. These gifts are meant to be used out in our community as we're going to work, as we're at school for our young people, as we're in the stores shopping. That we could say, I don't have silver and I don't have gold, but what I do have to you, have, I want to give to you in the name of Yeshua. Release healing, release miracles. It came to the point that Kepha's shadow even healed the sick. Now, lest we forget, Kepha was not superhero. My husband and I walked into the store yesterday to get something, and there was this thing for Mother's Day, Superwoman. I said, this is what you got me, right? A little statue. Kepha was not Superman. He was a common fisherman, and as we studied earlier in the series, a man who denied Yeshua, who ran and hid in a room, and yet he was yielded to the Ruach so that the gift of healing could flow through him, and that he touched that man at the gate beautiful, and he touched many other people as his shadow fell upon them as he walked by and they were healed. He raised the dead. Think of the story of Tabitha when he went to her home and they were all upset that this woman who had been so generous and had made clothing and helped the poor and the homeless had died. And he went in and he raised the dead, a gift, a miracle. Not because he was special, not because he was a superhero, but because he was yielded to the Ruach. And God used him in those gifts to touch the community. And God wants to use you, not just Rabbi Michael, not just Rabbi Carol, not just the leadership, Gary and Rena and Randy and Fred, but every single person listening in this room, every single person listening to this podcast, you are the person that God wants to anoint with his Holy Spirit and to pour out these gifts to touch people in the community around us. Healings, miracles, words of knowledge that he wants to flow through us that would touch our community with the good news of Yeshua and always point to Yeshua. Isn't that what Kepha said? What I give to you in the name of who? Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel. Third thing I want to talk about this morning is our attitudes toward these gifts. First, we need to eagerly desire them. Some of you don't even think about the gifts, except this time of the year when maybe we do a message on it. We might, you know, allude to them. 1 Corinthians 14:1, Rav Shaul says, pursue love, because it comes on the end of 1 Corinthians 13, which is all about love. However, keep on eagerly, say eagerly with me. Let's say it a little more eagerly. Eagerly seeking the things of the Spirit, and especially seek to be able to prophesy. Some translations say eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. We have to have an eagerness to want the Spirit of God to pour out these gifts upon us. As I said earlier, in each situation, Adonai is looking for someone who is available to use in these gifts. But if we don't think we qualify, we're never expecting him to use us. The gifts either are not in operation, which happened for hundreds of years, thousands of years, from the 3rd century until the beginning of the 20th century. They were basically non-existent in the body of Messiah. How sad. Think of what could have happened. How history could have changed those hundreds of years through the dark ages if the body of Messiah had maintained that connection with the Ruach and allowed those gifts to be in operation. As I said earlier, the Ruach is looking for people who are open to be used by him. Eagerly desire. As you have been filled, say, God, I want to be used. Flow your gifts through me. I'm imperfect, but I am grateful you use imperfect people. God, use me this week. Whatever gift you need to flow through me. We all like, you know, what we call, quote, the supernatural gifts, again, healings, miracles, but all of those are supernatural. God, pour healing, miracles, serving, compassion. Whatever gift is needed in the situation you place me this week, supernaturally impart that gift to me that I could touch the life of someone else to the glory of the Father. As we do that, we have to remember not to get puffed up or prideful. Romans 12:3 says, "For I am telling every single one of you through the grace that has been given to me not to have an exaggerated idea about your importance. Instead, develop a sober estimate of yourself based on the standard which God has given to each one of you, namely faith." In other words, you don't own the gift, as I said earlier. It's not about you. The gifts are not given to super spiritual people. They're given to imperfect people who are yielded to the Ruach. The next thing to remember about these is that the gifts are controlled by the individual. As I was talking to the young people last week in our class, encouraging them to expect to be filled with the Ruach next week, and over half of the young people have never been filled with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and this year that's going to change. But I encouraged them. I said, you know, the Spirit's not going to take you over so that you become a robot, right? That he is, you know, manipulating you. Sometimes we think that. So when it comes to the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, sometimes people are waiting, and I'm just going to say this, and I know Rabbi Michael will encourage with this next week as he preaches on receiving the infilling. The Holy Spirit is not going to take you over and control your tongue, your mouth, okay, control your mind. You are in control. So you have a choice to flow with what the Ruach is saying, to flow with the Holy Spirit, or not to. 1 Corinthians 14, 32-33 says, "Also the prophet's spirit are under the prophet's control." The prophet's spirit is under the prophet's control. That applies to every other gift as well. They're under your control. Again, you have the ability to say no or to say yes. So sometimes when the Spirit is prompting you to go to that person at work or that person in the supermarket, which is sometimes a little scarier because you don't even know the person, and say, "Can I pray for you?" we sometimes hesitate. Well, they're going to think I'm weird. And what if nothing happens when I pray? Which is doubt and unbelief. And so we make a choice not to do it. And yet that could have been an opportunity where God wanted his gift of healing to flow through you. Or maybe he gave you a word to say, go up and say this to that person, right? Like Philip, go up to that chariot, right, with the Ethiopian. Go up to that chariot. Why that chariot? Because that man was ready to receive. And maybe as you're shopping tomorrow, okay, maybe not tomorrow because it's Mother's Day. Maybe when you're shopping on Monday, and God's going to say, go to that checkout, to that person, and say this, that you will have the right word of wisdom or knowledge for them. So you are in control. The Holy Spirit will not take you over like a robot. Which means that we must use these gifts. Romans 12:6, "But we have gifts that differ and which are meant to be used according to the grace that has been given to us." And in 1 Timothy 4:14, Rav Shaul encourages young Timothy, "Do not neglect your gift." So often people begin to stress in this part of the message, saying, "What's my gift, Rabbi Carol?" As I've said several times, and I'm going to repeat it hopefully clearly at this moment, Adonai will use any willing vessel with any particular gift at any particular time that he chooses. As I said, it's true that sometimes one person will operate continually in a gift, but it's because they are continually yielded to Adonai. So today, Adonai may use you to give a word of wisdom. Today, he may use you to use the gift of service, the gift of compassion or mercy. Tomorrow may be a gift of healing. Another day may be a gift of administration. Again, read through those gifts. There's so many of them. And they're all meant to build up the kingdom, to build up the community, to glorify God. That's what took place in the book of Acts. God was glorified. The kingdom was advanced. The kehillah grew because people were walking in step with the Spirit, not perfection, but day by day, learning to become more like Yeshua, flowing in the fruit of the Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through them to touch the world around them with these gifts. Amen, Rabbi Carol. Last, the gifts must be submitted to leadership. The whole purpose of Rav Shaul's exhortation in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 was to give oversight to how the gifts should be used, especially in operation in the congregation. He's instructing this congregation at Corinth, as I said, on how to have order and not chaos when seeing the gifts in operation. Do we make mistakes when we start yielding to the Ruach and allowing him to flow through us in any of these gifts? Yes. Take the pressure off. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes. But that's what leadership is here for, is to help us. One writer explained that God has appointed administrations, which is part of the giftings, and that word originally was used concerning steering a ship. It meant to govern by active guidance and direction. Leadership involves making judgments when the leader of a service decides concerning the propriety of a manifestation. The decision is under the guidance of the Spirit. And it's just as necessary as a message of prophecy or other gifts. So this spiritual leader who is talking about these two people in this congregation who were using this gift of prophecy, words of wisdom or knowledge in the service, as the leader, he called them into his office and he spoke to them and he challenged them because that was his job to do as a leader and to encourage them not to tear them down, but so that they could grow in the gift. And so that they would benefit, but also the body would benefit. So these gifts, God will use leaders to encourage and to instruct on how they flow, especially inside the kehillah, but even outside as you go out and you come back and you share and the leadership is able to impart to you. God wants you to flow in these gifts. He wants you to touch the world around you with these gifts. You and I simply need to be yielded so that he can do that. Let's stand to our feet as we close in prayer. Adonai, we thank you for your instruction today. Father, we thank you that you are a good God who gives good gifts to your children. We thank you for the promise of the outpouring of the Ruach. God, and that part of that promise is the gifts that you want us to flow in. And Lord, I pray for each one hearing this message today or in the future, but via the podcast, that we would hear this word and we would be encouraged to eagerly seek spiritual gifts in order to glorify you, God, to touch the world around us, to build up one another within this kehillah. So that the kingdom would advance. Say this with me, Hineni. Here I am. Use me this week in one of these gifts. Amen. I want to give opportunity, if you don't yet know Yeshua, to pray that prayer with me. Then I'm going to close with a Aaronic benediction, and I'm going to invite my ministry team to come up. And if you need prayer for anything, we're going to pray for you. But we want to give opportunity The gifts of the Spirit, that point of Spirit, has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is through acceptance of Yeshua as our Messiah. So let's pray this prayer together. Dear God, thank you for Yeshua and his sacrifice for my sins. I receive him today in my life. Forgive my sins and cleanse me. Amen. I'm going to close now with the Aaronic benediction. So our ministry team comes up and our worship team comes up to lead in worship. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. May Adonai bless you and keep you. Ye'er Adonai panav aleka v'kuneka. May Adonai make his face shine on you and show you his favor. Yisa Adonai panav aleka v'yasim lecha shalom. May Adonai lift up his face towards you and give you peace. May you walk in the peace of God Almighty. May you walk under the anointing and unction of the Ruach HaKodesh this week like never before. May it be a week of great anticipation and expectation towards Shavuot 2018 when you encounter God in the most powerful way that you've ever encountered in your life up to this point. And I pray that in Yeshua's name. Again, ask my ministry team to come forward. If you need any prayer for anything, come forward. We're here to pray a prayer of agreement. If you don't need prayer, Shabbat Shalom to you. We'll be having our time of prayer this afternoon. I forgot I wanted to do this, but I'm going to encourage you as you leave, pray for Israel. This is a significant week coming up. Obviously, this past week, if you heard things, Iran with the missiles they tried to send in. Monday, our embassy is going to officially be moved to Jerusalem. So we'll be praying for that this afternoon at our prayer time. So if you can come back, stay probably within a half an hour or so. We'll go into our afternoon prayer and then the Hebrew class after that. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.